All right, let's get started into our third module. We're going to start going, making simple scripts and functions here. This is going to be totally wickedly cool because now we're going to take a command, take any command you want, the ones that I have in the demos or any command that you want, and we're going to start to turn it into a script for automation. We're going to start to use variables. We'll parameterize it. This will be making a parameterized script. And we're going to keep the parameters really simple right now. And then we're going to start to turn it into a function and run it as a function and test the function. This is going to become more and more like a tool for us. So let's get started here. First of all, turning commands into scripts. Now, what I'm going to do is two things and to cut down a little bit on the typing. First of all, guys, this is module 3, so no, I don't want to save any of that. So I'm going to go out and launch my startup here. But here's a great way to get started with this. I'm going to just start with a blank slate, first of all, so you get the concept. Concept is really simple. Get it to work at the console, and then paste it in, and there's the start to your script. So if I do something like get WMI object, or you can get sim instance if you're on version 8 or server 2012, and we'll do class win32 underscore bios and computer name DC comma client, hit enter. Yay, it works. So when something works, if you know you're going to need it and to do it again, then why not just make a script out of it? Now, you know that right now, all I have to do is save this, and I can run this. I can just go file, save as, and I'll go out here into my scripts folder and save this, and do, we'll call it T. I like that, T. That's actually a great tab. T. And if I want to run this, there's two ways I can do this. I can do it from within here, but a lot of times I like to run it from the console because as we start making tools, that's where the tools will be run from. So I like to check them there. So I'm going to go into my scripts folder and /t. And voila. Woohoo, we've made a script. I know you're not that impressed, but I want you to see what the issue is, right? We've made a script, and this is cool. This is great. We've started the journey, and this is neat, but what if I need to do different computers, and what if I need to do, and what if you wanted this? You're not going to want to look at...
T, because I already have one.
Yeah, well, first of all, you don't want it named T, and you're not going to want it using the computers DC and client. Mm. Be nice if I made this a little bit nicer for you, since you're a nice guy. And so let's start making it a little bit nicer. So if you take a look at my first example here, I'm going to use a whatever example you want to use, I'm going to use a Win32 logical disk. And if you were joined us for the first one, this one down here looks scary, but what I'm doing with Win32 logical disk is I'm just grabbing the C drive from a computer called localhost, and I'm selecting certain properties that I want to see. The scary part for a lot of people, and you need to practice this to get used to it, but definitely get used to it. I'm doing my own custom column here of size and gigabytes. In other words, there's a property called size and free space, and they're in bytes, and I don't like that long looking number. So I've decided to improve it. And just as an example, I'll run it so you can see it. And this is what an example that we ran in the last one. I need to clear this. Oops, wait a minute. Sorry, I really messed that one up. Oh, stop it. There we go. I need to go down here and clear this because that's still on the screen so you can see what the results are. So I'm going to start off with a slightly more complicated command. And as you can see, it comes up and it gives the computers. And for some reason, I don't have my free space showing up, but it's because I forgot a comma. So let me try this. Da, 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 da. Bing. There we go. So you can see that for client in this case, there's a size and it's in gigabytes. So these are the calculated properties or custom columns. Now, when you have your own command, you might be looking at it and going, okay, well, there's a few things in here that I know somebody's going to want to change. When I give this to you, you're going to want to change the computer name. You might even want to change, you know, I've got it set hard-coded for drive C and stuff like that. You know, you might want to check it for something else. So the first thing you want to do is start to identify things that you would like to replace with a variable to make your life easier. This is where we're going to start making our variables. And in an example too, here's where I've done device ID and I've said, you know what? I'm thinking that maybe somebody else might want to specify a different drive letter than C. Maybe they want to do a different computer name. So I've created these variables. Now, all I've done so far is so that I could test, I went up here and I filled those variables out. I want you to notice that I did put in the type here in front of it, client and C. And so I'm going to run this. I'm going to click the green arrow to run it. And notice the information that I'm getting from this. So it's C, it's on the client, and I'm getting, so everything's working perfectly.
Okay.
Now you guys, and I mean you smart guys, if this was another language, the concept of parameterizing my script becomes a challenge, and I have to start dealing with arguments and dealing with stuff that is sometimes mentally challenging. You guys made it really easy for us to make parameters. I've got a simple script where I've identified some variables and I want to turn them into parameters.
Yes.
So how simple did you make it?
It's totally simple. So basically there's a couple ways to do it. If you're starting from scratch, he's going to show you parameters. But if you're an old Unix guy and you're used to $args, we support $args. If you don't know what I'm talking about, pay no attention to me. Listen to him. But if you're an old Unix guy and you're familiar with $args, $args of zero, or $args of one, that works perfectly.
Yeah, it does.
But we're not going to show you that because we're going to show you the way you should do it.
Well, and I do want to point out, you will see $args used in scripts that you'll see on the internet. And it is supported and it does work. And for you Unix people, here's what we're going to do is, they've done this amazing job of, I'm going to put in a keyword called param, open parentheses, and then a close parentheses. Now, there's a couple of style notes I want to point out here. This is going to start to be hard to read, so what we want to do is we want to indent this. So I'm going to indent this so Jeffrey loves me, and it makes it easier to read. Now, I also want you to notice I've got a little red squiggly up here. Because what this wants is comma separated. So I need to put a comma in here between my two variables. So far I've done one thing, param, put a comma in there. I'm gonna run this. Yes, go ahead and save it. And I get the same result because these are acting as defaults. But watch this. I'm gonna run this as if I was running the script from the console. And this is called number two. Magic, ready for magic? Dash. Look at that. Parameter.
Yep.
Parameter. Now, if you saw the last episode, you've seen us do this, but I can't get over how cool and how easy this is. You can add any variable you want. So look at what you've done as a solution, what you want to change to being variables so somebody else can use them as parameters, and then all you have to do is put them up in the param block. You've just started down the route of making a parameterized script, but this is starting to become a tool. I mean, I could give this to you, except that it's not called T. I could give this to you, and you could put in your own computer. So let's put in computer S1.
Yep.
And there we go. We got it from computer S1. So we're down the road of using parameters. Now, parameters are actually, let me go to demo number three here. See this thing that I've got? Parameters are working, but what is the point to this thing called commandlet binding? Why do you always see people put that in?
Yes, so this is that next click in formalization. This is where you really transform a function into a full commandlet. Now, full commandlet is the real deal. So you'll see that, when you show tab completion or IntelliSense, you're going to see a ton of extra variables that aren't defined here. This, when you put this commandlet binding, you're telling the PowerShell engine, please do a whole bunch of work for me.
Right. And also, it's making sure that it's checking that what I'm putting in are actual arguments for the parameters and not letting me go crazy and add in all kinds of stuff. So this is actually something that's very important for us to add. Now, also, as we start adding attributes for the parameters, the attributes don't work unless you have that in, right? I mean, mandatory does, but there's a lot of the attributes that we have to have in. So commandlet binding
is still work.
You think this don't work?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought there was the ones that didn't work.
Oh, I could be wrong.
No, I could be wrong.
It's one of those two things. So here's the thing.
Well, let's see. Again, we'll vote. I'll bet you it's me.
Well, no, it's again, that's the lesson here. The lesson is you don't have to know all this stuff. Just try it. And if it works, then it's supported.
Absolutely.
And if it doesn't work, well, maybe you're doing it wrong, but chances are it's not.
Chances are it's not. Yeah. So we've got commandlet binding in here, param. That gets our parameters set up. And let me go ahead and catch us up in the slides so that everybody knows where we're actually going to be at. So we've chosen our variables that we want to parameterize. We put them in there. We added param, and now we've added commandlet binding. So far, so good. Now what we're going to do is, now that we've parameterized the script, is let's talk about the difference between a parameterized script and a function, though. Because all we've done right now is, I've got this script, but I'm still, oops, and I keep doing that. I need to stop doing that. CLS. When I'm running this, I'm still having to type it in like this.
Yes.
And I'm still, you know, this is cool. This is cool, but wouldn't it be nice if it looked, whoops, wait a minute, that was the wrong one. Wouldn't it be nice if it looked more like, you know,
a commandlet.
It looked more like a commandlet.
Yes.
And it seemed to feel more like a commandlet.
Yes. And what if you wanted to have more than one of them in a file?
If you wanted to have more than one of them in a file. So, I'm going to go to disk info.
Because otherwise you can get a lot of files. A lot of files.
Lot of them. And so, very simply, just with this one, we can go, keyword is function. And now we could call this anything, right? We could just call it foo.
Yeah.
We could go like this, put in an open squiggly. Or we could, let's call it T. There's no alias for T, right?
No. I would have known that one.
Yeah, okay, good. And down here, I notice I'm going to go to the end of my code, and we'll go here, and we'll close that. So I've got a function called T, and take this, and right now we'll just leave it, and I'm going to go ahead and run that. Yes, stop asking me, just do it. So it ran it. So I should be able to come down here and go T.
Ooh, see how easy that was?
Ah! Watch. If you're testing, when you start using functions and you're going to test, a lot of times you're going to go to the console and you're going to go, well, gee whiz.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to run my script. CD scripts. And I forgot where I put it. There we go. And it's called, I'm going to run my script. Notice this is the three params, PS1. And I'm going to say T. Oh. Now, you explained this to me the last time, but, you know, I'm a little dense.
Yes.
Now, I think of it as this way. Okay, thanks. I think of it as this way. I think of it as, I ran my script, the function got loaded, but when the script ended, everything dies. Variables, everything gets cleaned out.
We clean up.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But how do I
unless
test my function?
Unless you want to.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And so basically this is what we call a stack. So basically a stack's an important concept. It says, hey, here's where I find my stuff. And so when you execute something new, what happens is we go and we create a new stack, and anything it creates is done in there. And then when it exits, we pop that stack. Now, the interesting thing is that when you create the stack and you try and access something that's not there, we first look for it there, and if it's not there, we then look up the stack and up the stack and up the stack. That's called dynamic variables, okay? Dynamic scoping of variables. Now, again, so the problem you had here was you had a stack. We said, I'm going to execute something. You created a new stack. You defined something.
Right.
But then when you exited, it went away.
It went away.
So it turns out there's a way to execute something but not create a new stack, and it's called dotting.
And this is going to be very important. So
that's
I want you
like
to see,
dot.
Dot. And I want you guys to see this because when you're testing a script that has a function in it. We haven't made a module yet. We're not going to till the end of the day because we've got cool stuff for that. But when you're testing, you need to make sure you dot, then dot, and run your script. And this will keep it loaded. Now watch, T will now, woohoo,
right, so work. It executed the code in the current scope. And then when you exit, we don't throw it away.
And one of the interesting...
The downside of that is that you can contaminate your environments. By the way, this is how profiles work. Somebody in the chat room asked about profiles. I don't think we're planning to talk about profiles.
No, but we could always. So,
okay,
yeah.
So basically profiles are scripts that get run at the beginning of every session. It's $profile, and there's four of them for each host, and whether it's for you or all users. And this is code that we dot source to set up your environment. So this is where you set up your favorites and functions that you're going to use all the time. You put them in this one script, and then at the beginning of every session, we dot source these files, these profiles.
Now, here's where people will get confused. You're testing it, and you get used to doing dot sourcing, or you might be testing in the ISE, and I want you to notice, I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to do any of that. I just ran it, and it just worked. So the ISE is great because you don't have to do the dot sourcing, but then when you go out to actually start testing, you'll forget about it. So it's you got to keep it straight. Inside the ISE, we're good, but then when you go out to run the script, and we'll do it enough, you have to dot source it until we make a module, which will be awesome.
Yeah, or more commonly what will happen is you'll dot source it and you'll run it, and then you'll go and you'll change a bunch of things and you'll save it, and you run it again, and you don't see your changes. The answer is because you already dot sourced it, so you're running the old version. So every time you change it, you're going to have to dot source it again.
And it'll replace. And so, guys, what I'd like to do is I'm going to show you. I've got something here called disk info that I've given you, which is, notice I called this T. That's not very commandlet-like. So on disk info, I wanted to make it a little bit more commandlet-like. So notice I just gave it, you know, get dash disk info. Which now it has a proper verb, so we know we're going to get some information, and we know that the noun is going to be disk info. So that was easy. Now you still see that I have parameters. Notice that I've added one in here, and this was because we showed it to you in the last one. This is a parameter attribute. We're going to talk more about other attributes, but mandatory means you're required to fill this in. And so I've got a computer name and a drive, and I have basically the same line. But what I've done is I've used my nicer one that formats. See, look at those ugly, it's just big numbers like that scare me. So this will make it into gigabytes, which will be much easier to read. And that's all I've done. So I'm going to run this. And now it's going to start to look like, and I'll clear that. Stop doing that, because then I break things.
Yes.
I'm going to go over here and do get disk. Oh, see? And computer name's now mandatory, so I'll put in DC, and then I get all of the information back. Again, don't forget, if you're going to test this from the console, you got to dot source it, and now you've got the start of what looks like a commandlet. In fact, it looks so much like a commandlet at this point. Let me go over here and just run it. I'm going to call up disk info ps1, get disk info. Computer name, DC, and you notice anything that I put in there, I have. So I have other, commandlet binding has now given me verbose, and these things that we're going to be working with today.
Do output variable, just so you
can
show them.
Do out variable and $var?
No.
Oh, var, thanks. And now that output, ta-da, is in a variable. So out variable is actually really cool to use with commandlets. And so with commandlet binding, we now get all of those extra tools that we, you know, wow,
right. You didn't
do any work for it. I didn't pay for this. I didn't work for this.
Exactly. PowerShell does it for you. Oh, in the chat room, somebody asked, okay, so now that you've dot sourced this, what if you want to get rid of it? My friends, that's the thing about dot sourcing. You can't. Actually, there's some way you can go clean it up, but maybe, like, I can show you how to go into functions and clean it up. In fact, I will, because it's so cool, but this isn't really the correct solution. So here, let's do it. Where is it? Okay, so I'm going to dot source this. Okay, so I've just dot sourced that. Now, there's something. If you know about the drives, get PS drive. Okay, PS Drive shows you all the drives on the system. Now these drives, there's the C drive and the D drive, the drives you're familiar with. Yeah, I don't think we talked about this earlier, but there's other drives in PowerShell. So we have the alias drive, the certificate drive, HKCU and HKLM, the registry, okay? So there's a rich set of stuff. Go have fun and explore, but in particular, there's something called function. So now I can do a dir function, do the drive, and you'll see get disk info.
Yeah.
So what I could do is I can say, you know, basically remove item function get disk info, and I get rid of it. I get, get disk info. See, it's gone. Now, the downside is, well, did I get rid of everything? And the answer is maybe, maybe not. So this is the downside of dot sourcing scripts, and that's why we invented modules, which are coming up later.
Yeah, absolutely. I also want to show you, to also answer that question, if you're testing in the console and you want it clean of all variables and you want it clean of all of the script functions that you've been building, just close it. Yeah. And then open up a new one.
or Control-T. Do you know about that?
No, it's Control-T.
You didn't do Control-T?
No, okay, it's Control-T.
Go to mine. Okay, so here we go. You have all this stuff. Look, you remember how I had that dollar sign X equals, and I couldn't, I guess I fixed that. Anyway, so, I did. Anyway, so you have a mess here. Control-T brings you up a second run space.
Oh, so yeah, get
so
a whole nother.
I've got a whole nother environment. So, you know, dollar sign X here, and I come to here, dollar sign X, it says, what are you talking about?
Don't
have a dollar
sign.
Yeah, so it's a completely different environment using the same GUI.
Now, a couple of style features for you. Notice the indentations that I've done here. This actually becomes a best practice and very important. It helps you read and therefore troubleshoot your scripts a lot better. It also makes it, and you know, there's a lot of conversation about this. The maintainability of your script becomes very important because you might not be the only one that needs to work on this. So you want to make it easy to read. So notice how I've indented things here. We're going to be practicing more with indentation just to make it, you know, look pretty and make it easier to read. There's more, though, that I could do with this script. So I've got one script with one function in it, but here's the cool part. There's one tool. Maybe I want another tool. Well, I could put in another function, and we'll call it get cool or something like that, and another function, and get more cool. And as a matter of fact, I gave you an example. I think I called it jump tools over here, where I have just that, the initial function, and then, oh, looky, I called him get Jason fun. What was I thinking when I did? But here's the moral of the story. So first of all, I want you to notice the collapsy capabilities here to help you see things. Maybe I don't want to see the param block, so I can just collapse that and I can reopen it when I want to look at it. I don't want to look at this function right now. I want to see the other function so I can collapse that. See how it's easy for me to take a look at it? Now in this case, I've got a script that's got three functions in it. Well, let's run it, and let's see here. Really, did I call it get JSON fun? I certainly did. And voila. So you're now starting to create a script of parameterized functions that are kind of becoming a tool set for you.
A tool set,
a
yes.
Toolbox, a very nice little toolbox. So.
But can I interrupt a second?
Oh, absolutely.
So earlier, JSON showed you a script, and if you show my machine, I'll show you that. Okay, and notice it had computer name, and it defaulted to the value client. It turned out client, on Jason's machine, he has a virtual machine whose name is client. So you at home, none of that worked for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got
to change
that to your own.
So in general, you type local host. So that was what was going on there.
Was that a question that was going to, really?
I intuited
that it was happening out there. So yeah,
yes.
Guys, go ahead and use localhost instead of my particular machine names.
Yeah,
in
so
there.
If you see things like DC1,
DC client, S1, S2,
Those are all his VMs.
Yeah.
And so you'll do something different for your machines.
Insert your own computers there, or localhost if you just got one box.
Yeah.
Notice the example for disk info that I have up right now. I've removed the default values, and I made computer name mandatory. So you have to type in whatever your computer is anyways. And of course, you can type in localhost. And in the jump tools, yeah. Let's see what I did in here. I think I get in my param block. I think, yep, I got rid of it and had it mandatory in here. So hopefully you won't run into too many issues with that. Well, Jeffrey, this is a nice parameterized script, but
yes,
you know,
it is.
This isn't really an advanced function yet. So
no.
So here's what we're gonna do. Let me catch up in slides, because we're gonna go to a new module and we're gonna start to turn this into something called an advanced function. Ooh, the name is scary. So functions, creating parameters, got that. We've shown you how to run them and to work with them. Make sure you're putting in your questions.